I don't think you should sex shame your dog. Everybody masturbates. Welcome back to Lyrics for Lunch. This is the show that tells you the untold stories behind some of your favorite songs. I'm your host, Lindsay Tucker, and joining me this week and every week, it's Aviv Rubenstein. Aviv, hello.
Hello. Usually I don't know anything, but today I really don't know anything.
Yes, today I have a very special surprise episode for you listeners and for Aviv, who's totally in the dark, that today we're doing lunchtime trivia.
Lunchtime trivia.
This is a new segment of our show in which I will be presenting trivia questions and little known stories behind some of music's most famous and not so famous people.
Oh, we're doing rapid fire.
We're doing trivia.
Okay, so are you going to ask me?
Or I'm going to ask you the questions, okay. And then I'm going to give you A, B, or C. We're going to give the listeners a chance to answer, and then you're going to answer, and then I am going to tell you the story behind the question.
Oh, that's this is fun. This is a fun wrinkle.
Isn't this fun?
Yeah, I like this.
All right, so how are you? Anything you need to get out of your system before we go?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, great.
It's both my parents' birthday this week. And so I'm wishing them happy birthday. They will hear this after their birthdays. But happy birthday, mom and dad.
Yay.
Yay.
And they have the same birthday? They're like one day apart?
One day apart.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. All right.
Couple of Pisces.
So how many questions do you think you're going to get right?
How many questions are there total?
I don't know. Two.
Okay. I have like 80%.
I think there's six.
Okay,
I know how long we would go on the explanation, so.
I think I'm going to get like four or five, right?
Okay. All right, you ready for question one?
I mean, no, but yes.
Question one, here we go. What was Freddie Mercury's birth name? Was it A, Farouk Balsara? Was it B, Baruch Assault? Was it C, Frank Quick?
It's the first one.
You're supposed to give a pause for the listeners.
Oh, sorry. Farouk, right?
Farouk Balsara.
Yeah, because he is from Zanzibar.
Oh, I'm going to tell you, yes. Born September 5th, 1946, in Stonetown, Zanzibar, which is now Tanzania. Farouk Balsara was born to Parsi parents who had emigrated from India to Zanzibar, where his father worked as a clerk for the British government. He attended boarding school in India, where he formed an early band and played the piano.
The father?
No.
Freddie. No, Freddie. Freddie formed an early band, played the piano.
Yes. So when Zanzibar became part of the independent country of Tanzania in 1964, Freddie moved with his family to Feltham, England. He studied graphic art there. Graphic art and design at Ealing Technical College and School of Art, which is now part of the University of West London, in case you were wondering.
Did he design any of the Queen logos? Because he was like a graphic designer. I knew that he was from the Middle East or Africa because my dad is a big Queen fan. And when happy birthday, Dad. And when we were listening to Bohemian Rhapsody, there is a point where he says Bismillah. Or Bismillah, which is like an Arabic saying. And so my dad, when I was like 10, he's like, you see, Freddie Mercury is from North Africa.
You see, yada, son.
Yada. Literally, you see, son.
Well, here you go. This is from Quora, so take it with a grain of salt. Having attended art college, Mercury designed Queen's logo called the Queen Crest shortly before the release of the band's first album.
Dope. That sounds accurate. I also watched the Bohemian Rhapsody movie, which is one of my least favorite movies of all time, and one of my inspirations for not starting the show, because you started the show, but like joining the show, because it is so woefully inaccurate that I wanted to like flog myself. And
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, I hate that movie so much.
Oh, I liked it.
I absolutely hate. We can talk about, like, I can ruin it for you if you want to do a quick Lyrics for Lunch about the Bohemian Rhapsody movie, but why does it have to be on air or at all if you don't want me to?
I think I'm going to keep my ignorance is bliss here. Thank you.
Hell yeah.
All right. Are you ready for the next question?
I'm gonna add theme songs.
Exciting music and
sounds. Game show theme songs.
Okay, this is a fun one. I think you're going to get it.
Okay.
Which member of the Avengers had a brief stint as a pop star? Was it A, Scarlett Johansson, B, Brie Larson, or C, Zoe Saldana?
Oh, that's a really good question. And I think it's... So this is a, I think this is a trick question. Because I know that Scarlett Johansson released an album of Tom Waits covers. Mm-hmm. But you said pop star.
Pop star is the... Yeah.
Which means it has to be Brie Larson.
Correct! In the mid-2000s, after a few minor roles in films like 13 Going on 30 and Sleepover...
One of my favorites.
Larson was signed to Casablanca Records by Mariah Carey's ex-husband, Tommy Mottola.
Oh, Jesus.
According to Billboard, at the time, Lindsay Lohan was Brie's sole label mate on the fledgling imprint.
Oh, I hate that.
So in 2005, Larson released her debut solo album called Finally Out of P.E. Loving that.
I absolutely hate that.
A quote-unquote pop punk Billboard words, no, not false. Mine.
Incorrect.
Collection of brightly melodic songs that Billboard called equal parts Avril Lavigne and Michelle Branch.
Please, please fucking kill me. But the interesting thing about this is many of the Avengers have also released records. So we said Scarlett Johansson and Brie Larson, but also Robert Downey Jr. and Jeremy Renner.
I don't think I knew about Robert Downey Jr.
So this is during his kind of like, I'm not on drugs anymore comeback. So uh-huh. Before he got the role as Iron Man, he released an album called The Futurist. And so there's a line in Captain America Civil War after everyone gets arrested, except for Tony, because he like sells them all out or something. I don't know. Jeremy Renner says, look, everybody, it's The Futurist. And he's just
That's
like
a
doing
throwback.
Doing a dig, like an Easter egg for Robert's album. Which I think is like pretty good.
Oh, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's like piano-y, kind of soulful things.
Not pop.
No, not pop star.
So, Brie's lead single called "She Said" peaked at number 31 on the Billboard Hot Single Sales chart, and we're gonna watch the video right now.
Yeah, that's higher than I expected it to go.
Me too. Especially because I watched this video and I'm pretty sure I never seen it before.
American Burger Policy? What's happening? Oh my god. Oh boy. She's late for work. They're doing like they're really trying to make her like Avril.
Yes.
Oh, she drops the burgers on the floor and then serves
feeds them to them.
The girls that look just like her. How old is she?
16.
Yikes. I mean, why is she still wearing that hat?
That hat? The greasy little, like, hair pieces in front of the eyes?
The greasy hair pieces did it for me when I was a teenager. Oh, it's a hot guy in a ZZ Top shirt. ZZ Top baseball ringer.
Likes them.
Oh, Brie, you gotta do the lemons.
Different teeth.
Does she have different teeth?
I think so.
Oh, a Vote for Pedro shirt.
Yeah, so this is like a Napoleon Dynamite guy, right?
Yeah, John Heater. Is it actually John Heater? Or is
no.
it a guy that looks like John Heater?
Wants to be.
Well, yeah. but hotter.
There are only certain specific like flashes where I'm like, oh, it's Brie Larson. Otherwise, like towards the end, like here, I'm like, okay, it's definitely her. But in the beginning, I wasn't really sure. Oh my God, this fucking outfit.
I mean, listen.
And Tripp pointed out it's Brie Larson Vivo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is like a channel.
12,800 subscribers. I mean, it's fine. It's not. It's not. It's not worse than anything else. But
no,
yeah, she does
certainly
look,
not.
She looks very different. I think it's the hairstyle
and the eyebrows being.
Yeah,
not there.
Maybe the eyebrows. It doesn't look like. Not that I like make it a habit of commenting on plastic surgery or anything, but it doesn't look like she's had any work done. It just looks like she grew up a little bit.
Yeah, no, I feel like her face is very regular.
Oh, those wedge heels.
Everything about her outfit. The zebra outfit, the like flares, necklaces. Get out of my way, cause I'm
going somewhere. This is not where I wanna be. Oh, it was all a dream. She's still just here at the Burger Palace.
So sad.
So sad. It's interesting because during COVID, Brie Larson was like, quote unquote, learning guitar and like did a bunch of guitar stuff on her YouTube channel.
Oh.
And so I wonder like how, I mean, she was passively playing the guitar in the video. So I don't know how out of practice she was. Yeah, there's some disconnect there.
Tripp asked me, do you think she actively tries to suppress this information? And I was like, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. This turn only 4 years later, she's in Scott Pilgrim, where she like plays the singer in a band and sings a metric song, and so yeah, I mean, I think that there is like she has been musical throughout her career, or at least in the beginning of her career. Yeah, I like Brie Larson.
Me too.
I think she gets a bad rap.
She does.
Yeah, people in the Marvel, like people who are super into Marvel, think that the rest of the cast like hates her. And like, cause like her movie, she's like a Mary Sue and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know. It's stupid. It's like not really even worth giving oxygen to.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
Next question. You're 2 for 2. Who founded the Prevention of Cruelty to Long-Haired Men? Was it?
What?
Who founded the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty
to
Long-Haired Men? Was it A, Davy Jones, B, Ringo Starr, or C, David Bowie?
It was definitely Davy Jones.
Close, but no cigar.
No? It was Bowie?
It was David Jones, a.k.a. David Bowie.
Oh, wow.
17-year-old.
Like a lame enough... Oh, that was my episode, too.
I know. I really thought you were definitely going to get it.
This just proves that as soon as I do an episode, all the information flies out of my head.
That happens to me. And then you recall things that I taught you. And I'm like, oh, my God, I forgot that.
Yeah.
Okay. So 17-year-old David Jones, a.k.a. David Bowie, was interviewed on BBC Tonight program by Cliff Michelmore as the founder of the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Long-Haired Men. Quote Bowie. It's really for the protection of pop musicians and those who wear their hair long, he said. Anyone who has the courage to wear their hair down to his shoulders has to go through hell.
I really feel like I should get half a point because it is someone named Davy Jones.
No, it's David Jones. It was a trick question.
You didn't go by Davy Bowie?
I don't recall that, but you did the episode.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Davy Bowie. No one denies this. Now that we're like pulling this all up, I like... remember all this stuff.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, it's all coming back to me now. You can
all
go ahead.
Coming back, it's all coming back to me now.
It's all got to stop. They've had enough. The worms are turning. The rebellion of the long hairs is getting underway.
They're tired
of persecution. They're tired of taunts. They're tired of losing their jobs. They're tired of being sent home from college. They're tired of being sent home from school. They're tired even of being refused the dole. So with the nucleus of some of his friends, a 17-year-old, Davy Jones, has just founded the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Long-Haired Men.
Pretty sure he said David.
Well, here we are. Long-haired men, you've got to have your hair, 9 inches long before you can join?
Well, I think we're past that over now.
So. Have you?
Yes.
Now, exactly who's being cruel to you?
Well, I think we're all fairly tolerant, but for the last 2 years we've had comments like, darling, and can I carry a handbag thrown at us? I think it's just had to stop.
Oh, boo fucking who?
But does this surprise you?
I mean, it is homophobia.
Okay, but how much oppression have women been taking in?
Yeah. I'm not saying he got tied to the back of a pickup truck. I'm just saying.
Also, when you're being called female things and it's an insult,
how do you think
that feels for us females?
Well, I don't know.
I think homophobia boils down to... But I think most homophobia boils down to misogyny anyway, because it's like, this man is like a woman and women are bad or weak or whatever.
So behind this little stunt was Bowie's then manager, Les Kahn.
So he's already starting to be thing.
He was in the Mannish Boys. And they were due to
Womanish Boys.
Definitely not. They were due to appear on another BBC show, Gadzooks. It's All Happening, to perform their single, I Pity the Fool.
It's literally called I Pity the Fool?
Yes.
Fuck. That rips.
So the show's producer, Barry Langford, asked the band to cut their hair before the show. And so Les Kahn took this as a publicity opportunity and organized a protest of fans with pro-long hair placards outside the BBC and created this society.
That's awesome.
So all of this culminated in the decision that Bowie and his band were allowed to retain their long hair on the condition that if an audience member complained, the band's entire fee would go to charity.
Okay, that's fair.
No complaints were received.
Yeah, that's actually like much cooler than I thought that the BBC would be.
So, but I feel like Bowie's people were the ones that were like, hey, okay, if anyone complains, we'll give it to charity.
We'll give it to charity and not like the BBC. Like, fuck you, BBC. All right. I fucked up.
2.5 out of 3.
Question 4.
Ready? Ba-cham!
Well...
What artists made up the supergroup, the Traveling Wilburys?
Shit ass.
Was it A, George Harrison, Bob Dylan, Tom Petty, and Eric Clapton?
No.
Was it B, Eric Clapton, Bob Dylan, Roy Orbison, Paul McCartney, and Ravi Shankar?
No.
Or was it C, George Harrison, Roy Orbison, Jeff Lynne, Tom Petty, and Bob Dylan?
That one.
That's the one! Yay! The Traveling Wilburys were a British-American supergroup consisting of Bob Dylan, George Harrison, Jeff Lynne, Roy Orbison, and Tom Petty. The band recorded 2 albums, the first in 1988 and the second in 1990, although Orbison died before the second.
Sorry, that's not funny, but just your delivery. Classic. Orbison died.
Mo Austin, chairman emeritus of Warner Brothers Records, wrote, "The birth of the Traveling Wilburys was a happy accident. Warner Brothers Records International Department had asked that George come up with a B-side for This Is Love, a single from his Cloud Nine album. At the time, it was customary to couple an A-side with a never-before-heard track, giving the single extra sales value. This was mid-1988. Cloud Nine was just out. George, along with co-writer Jeff Lynne and their friends Bob Dylan, Tom Petty, and Roy Orbison, had been hanging out in Dylan's studio. I suppose George figured that as long as his pals were on hand, why not use them to knock off this flip side? A couple of days later, George came by my office to play the new B-side. We went next door to A&R head Lenny Waronker's office so he could hear it too. George played us Handle With Care. Our reaction was immediate. this was a song we knew could not be wasted on a B-side. Yeah. Roy Orbison's vocal was tremendous. I really loved the beautiful guitar figure that George played. The guys really nailed it. Lenny and I stumbled over each other's words, asking, can't we somehow turn this into an album? I also had a suspicion that perhaps George had been hungering for another band experience. We urged him on. George felt the spontaneity of it. He felt its driving force. He always had a great instincts. Being as smart as he was, he had a remarkable ability to pull people together. Think about the concert for Bangladesh. Only George Harrison could have made that happen.
Think of the concert for Bangladesh.
Once the idea of a full collaborative album was in front of us, George took over. The five frontmen, Harrison, Lynn, Petty, Dylan, and Orbison, decided not to use their own names. George and Jeff had been calling studio equipment, like limiters and equalizers, Wilburys. So first they named their fivesome the Trembling Wilburys. Jeff suggested Traveling instead, and everyone agreed. So here is their first single.
Handle With Care. I really like most of the solo efforts of all of these artists. I'm not a huge, I don't know Jeff Lynne's music very well, but I like Traveling Wilburys quite a bit. And especially because Tom Petty sings the bulk of this song, it feels just like a Tom Petty song to me.
Yeah. When he was like Orbison's vocals, I was like, I only don't even remember Orbison's vocals. I remembered Petty's more.
But Orbison's like from the generation before this, so he's at like death's door on these records.
Yeah. Does Tom Petty sing? We both thought he did.
He certainly does. If George sings this entire song, I will eat my hat.
There we go. There's Orbison.
It feels like almost Frankenstein. Like Roy Orbison singing a Roy Orbison song, and everyone else is singing a Tom Petty song. Everybody's
got somebody. These outfits are just like, what?
Incredible.
What is this?
Vests. Everyone's got vests and dresses. Pirate shirts.
Yeah, they look like pirates.
My
mind didn't sing the main vocals on Handle With Care.
Holy shit. I should lose an extra point for that.
No, I thought it too.
It's like the cadence of Tom Petty and the whine. No offense, Tom. May he rest. If you line these people up from 1988 and you're like, which one of these will be alive in 2024? No one would pick Bob Dylan.
Right? Other Wilbury hits included End
Tweeter
of the Line.
The Man.
And my favorite, Tweeter and the Monkey Man.
That's my favorite too.
Really?
Yeah.
Which will definitely, I wrote, be a future episode, so we'll see who wants to do it.
Will it really? Is there like something there?
Well, I just think no matter what, it's good storytelling.
Yeah. It is.
There's got to be something there.
It is a very fun song.
Are you ready for the second to last question?
The penultimate question?
Yeah. Adele credits what political figure with helping her career take off? Was it A, Bernie Sanders, B, Sarah Palin, or C, Chelsea Clinton?
Fucking what?
Yes, don't do it again.
All right, so Adele came about in 2009-ish? 2010-ish? But I'm just doing the game show music. And so it's either Bernie Sanders, Sarah Palin. Bernie Sanders seems a little early for Bernie on the national stage. Sarah Palin seems a little late. Chelsea Clinton, that doesn't make any sense at all, which leads me to believe that it might be it. But I'm going to go with my gut and say Sarah Palin.
Woohoo! Nailed it! Adele says that Palin was meant to appear on Saturday Night Live the week after Adele, but something came up in the campaign and she did SNL the same week as Adele, which was October 18th, 2008.
And then, right.
So, quote Adele.
Hugely watched episode.
It was one of the most watched SNLs ever, and then it was 2 weeks before the Grammy ballot, which is when people decide what songs they want to maybe nominate. So like literally the stars aligned for me. I was nominated for a Grammy and I won. I mean, it was a joke. It was a joke. All thanks to Sarah Palin. So that episode of SNL earned the highest ratings in 14 years with 17 million viewers, and Adele's album went to number one on iTunes.
Yeah, it was when Tina and Sarah Palin did dueling Sarah Palins.
Fantastic work.
Oh, Chasing Pavements. I didn't remember that song existed, and I didn't remember that that was an Adele song.
I made up my mind. Don't need to think it over. If I'm wrong, I am right. Don't need to look no further. This ain't
and she's like 19 at this time.
That was her first record, right? 19.
Yeah. She doesn't look particularly young.
I remember seeing her on another late night show at this exact time. So I remember like where I was in my Boston apartment, my first apartment that I had in Boston.
Yeah.
Like where I found out Obama won.
Yep.
But I remember watching Adele on late night, and she did that song Raid Is Rain, and I didn't know who she was, and I was like, this chick rips. And then after this album, like, I staunchly hate Adele.
Yeah. Why? you're just not into it?
It's like,
is it the box braids?
Like, my ex and I had this joke, like, give it up, Adele. Like, just stop. Like, it's all sure. The same shit. We're done.
I started a website called Sleepover Shows in 2009. And one of our first artists was this girl named Lady Lamb, who became a friend of mine. And she was had a big voice. And I filmed one of her shows live. And there was a dude standing next to me saying that she sounded like Adele, and I was like, who the fuck is that? And that was like 2009. So that's how I used this was my time capsule.
Perfect.
So was this like the answer to Amy Winehouse? Like,
I not know, right?
Yeah, I'm sure that like, because the way she's styled and like the type of backing band and stuff, it's like a soul singer sort of deal, which yeah. Seems to be a direct reaction to Amy, which is a movie I will absolutely never see. Did you see the trailer for the new Amy Winehouse biopic? It looks horrible.
It does look horrible. You know I love a good biopic.
I hate biopics.
And you hate them.
I would rather set myself on fire than watch that movie. It's possible that I thought that Chasing Pavement was Amy Winehouse.
Well, there you go, have it.
There you go.
There would, perhaps without Sarah Palin, there would be no Adele.
That makes me sad.
You ready for
our final question?
Final. All or nothing?
Yeah. All or nothing. What do I win?
A trip to Disney World.
Ooh.
To stay at my house.
Disneyland. Great. I'll stay at your house, go to Disney World.
Perfect.
Not ride any roller coasters.
What song could have been a Weird Al parody if the artist hadn't turned him down? Was it A, Jam and Juice, a kid-friendly parody of Snoop Dogg's Gin and Juice? B, Purple Drank, a parody of Prince's Purple Rain?
Purple Drank.
Or was it C, Schmoozer, a parody of Beck's Loser?
Oh, man. This
Making
is
up
so
questions tough. And answers was really fun.
This is so tough. Let's go through this. I'm taking this very seriously.
I can see that. I'm very pleased.
Okay, so Jam and Juice, it ticks the food thing, right? Which feels like, especially of that time. But I don't think Weird Al was rapping at that time. Mm. So I think eliminate that. That is a very attractive nuisance. I think, and then Purple Drank, another food thing. But the term Purple Drank, I think, is later, but Prince famously did not like people covering and parodying his songs. So that's also an attractive nuisance. But I think the answer is Schmoozer.
Correct! Jam and Juice was completely fabricated by me, as was Purple Drank.
Good job.
However,
very good job, both of you. Both ones, very good job.
In 2022, Audible Words and Music, in a 2022 Audible Words and Music episode, Beck said that he regretted turning down Al's loser take, Schmoozer. I regret denying him permission to do it. I think it would have been an amazing video. I'm actually really sad.
You know why? And I so, okay. This shouldn't surprise a lot of people, but I was very into Weird Al.
Yes, we know.
And in the Bad Hair Day, one of the albums, he does like medleys, right? Not like a parody, but he'll do like a bunch of pop songs in a medley. And one of them is Loser.
Hmm.
And I think it's from Bad Hair. It's like a polka medley, so like it would be impossible to find. But I think it is the one from Bad Hair Day.
So what are you saying?
That primed me to know that he was interested in Loser.
Oh, okay.
And
well, as we mentioned, Prince also famously turned down Weird Al at least twice. According to Billboard, Yankovic repeatedly tried to get Prince to sign off on comedic takes of Purple Rain called Yellow Snow, not
Yellow
Purple Drank.
Snow.
And a Beverly Hillbillies themed redo of Let's Go Crazy. But Prince was not having it.
Which he did Money for Nothing instead.
It's too bad, Weird Al said in a 2016 interview. I hadn't approached him in about 20 years because he always said no, but I had this fantasy that he'd come out with a new song. I'd have a great idea. He'd finally say yes, and it would erase decades of weirdness between us. But obviously, not going to be the case.
That's a weird quote to say after Prince dies.
I know.
He's like, I wish that Prince just got on fucking board with my shit.
Right? And that's our show.
Wild. Listeners, did you like this? I'm going to try to read your mind. There are, we come across songs that like there isn't enough for a whole episode. Do you like this like six quick facts in under an hour trivia? I like the trivia. I love answering questions.
Like, who doesn't love trivia?
Who doesn't love trivia? So listeners, if you like this show format, we could do one of these a month. Or maybe do it for like a Patreon. Who can say?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Let us know. What are we going out on today?
I don't know. I'm all fucked up. Yellow Snow.
I pulled I Love Rocky Road for you.
Ugh, classic. Something I had on CD.
Oh my God, you would.
I also really liked I Want a New Duck, which was a Huey Lewis parody, but I didn't know that. And so I just really liked that song. And then like decade after that, I heard the Huey Lewis song, I Want a New Drug. And I was like, that motherfucker.
Oh, he got me.
He got me. Weird Al, you got me.
I think I was not a Weird Al family. And my first introduction to Weird Al was he had that Flintstones song that was, oh my God, what's that band that we hate?
Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I don't know that. He did a Flintstones
like,
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Get the Bernie Red Bull.
Really? We should go out on that. I've never heard that.
Fine, let's do it. I'll find it.
So what are we going on?
I got to teach you so much in under an hour.
Thank you. So this is Bedrock Anthem by Weird Al Yankovic. Hey, yay. Okay.
Sometimes I feel like I need a vacation. Sometimes I feel like I want to go to the city of cavemen, the city of bedrock. I'd be a Flintstone, now I'll tell you why.
people find us on the internet?
Find us on the internet. Find us on the internet. Lyricsforlunch.com and for Instagram and Twitter at Lyrics for Lunch, and let us know what you think about Weird Al doing Red Hot Chili Peppers.
If you want to support the show, go to lyricsforlunch.com and click support the show.
And for longer and weirder stuff, shoot us an email. We're at lyricsforlunch@gmail.com.
So join us again next week when we do this all again.
I am fucking staggered at this. Maybe we'll do like a trivia once a month or something.
Definitely let us know if you like it.
Yeah, and until next time, I'm Aviv Rubenstein.
I'm Lindsay Tucker.
Saying, funny rebel.
Gonna take my family out to eat now. Jumbo ribs at the driving can't be beat.